If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 17. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. As I was preparing for this message, I came across a quote by a named Zach W. Van. I really do not know anything about this gentleman, but I did like the thought that he expressed. And here's what he said. He said, "Bullying builds character like nuclear waste builds superheroes. It's a rare occurrence and often does much more damage than endowment." And yet the fact is, all of us in some area of our life, whether it's in the classroom as a student or in the office place where that we work, or perhaps even in our own homes, we have to deal with the physical, emotional, verbal bullies that surround us. In fact, I looked up the etymology of the word bully, and it was actually quite interesting. I learned that the word first appeared around the year 1530. While the origin of the word is said to be uncertain, it was stated that it may have begun, or may have come rather, from an old Dutch word that meant lover or brother. In fact, in its first usage, bully was said to mean sweetheart. Now, men, I don't encourage you to call your wife a bully today, but that's the original meaning of the word. But as you know, languages are fluid, aren't they? Languages are fluid. In other words, the meaning of a word today, it may be a totally different meaning tomorrow. And so with time, the meaning of the word bully degenerated. It degenerated from meaning sweetheart. It came to mean just a fine fellow. And then from there, it degenerated even further and came to mean a loud and swaggering person. In other words, one who is very proud. And from there, it came to mean a ruffian. And then from there, it came to mean a protector of prostitutes or a pimp. And today, the word is used for one who uses physical or emotional or verbal intimidation to gain power, to gain control over the lives of others. One writer has well noted that one of the unfortunate realities of living in this world is the existence of bullies. But bullying is not a new phenomenon. It's not a new thing. Bullies have existed in our world ever since Cain killed Abel at the very beginning of human history. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 8. But it should be noted that all bullies are not created equal. All bullies are not created equal. There are some who just make a lot of noise. They're annoying. They are irritating, but not really very dangerous. But there are some bullies who are truly frightening, and they are able to cause a person to become filled with a sense of hopelessness and a sense of despair. That's exactly what we're going to see in our text together this morning here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. But we will also see that those bullies, no matter how dangerous they may be, those bullies do not have to be tolerated. Rather, they can be overcome when we trust in the Lord God and we allow Him to take control of our situation. And that's exactly what we're going to see illustrated in our text. So consider together with me this morning for the next few minutes the case of the frightening bully. Let's begin by noticing, number one, the bully described. The bully described. As we look at the Bible, it says in chapter 17, verse 1 and verse 2 of the book of 1 Samuel, it says that the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. Verse 2 says, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together." And so these two armies are now facing one another, and separating them is a valley. It's the valley of Elah. And out of the camp of the Philistines, which is on the one side, out of the camp of the Philistines, there comes out their champion. there comes out their hero, a really big bully by the name of Goliath. Let's notice a couple of things about this man. First of all, consider his size, letter A. To put it simply, this guy is huge. He is huge. The fact the Bible tells us in verse number 4 of our text that his height was 6 cubits and a span. In other words, if we were to calculate that into our way of measuring today, Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches or 2.97 meters tall. Bottom line, he was an NBA superstar just waiting for basketball to be invented. This man is huge, but obviously such a huge presence on the field of battle would have been a most intimidating thing. To see this massive man come out on the battlefield would have been demoralizing to the opposing army. But not only do we see his size, I want you to notice also letter B, his weaponry. His weaponry. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 17, verse 5, that he wore a helmet of brass. The Bible also tells us in verse 5 that he wore a coat of mail that weighed 5,000 shekels of brass. According to the pulpit commentary, this armor alone weighed about 91 kilograms or 200 pounds. He also wore, the Bible says in verse number 6, greaves of brass on his legs. This was simply shin guards that would protect the legs from those who might try to hit him there. He also wore a target of brass between his shoulders. This target of brass was actually a small round shield that was used in hand-to-hand combat. And when it was not in use, it would be laid over the shoulder along the back, and it would rest there between the shoulder blades. That's what it's talking about in verse number 6. In verse number 7, we're told that he carried a spear that was like a weaver's beam. And the head of that spear alone, the Bible says, weighed 600 shekels of iron. In other words, about 25 pounds or 11.3 kilograms. He also had an armor bearer who went before him, verse 7 tells us, who carried a larger shield that was like a door. The small shield was for hand-to-hand combat, but this larger shield would be used to protect the whole body from enemy arrows or enemy spears. The bottom line is simply this: Goliath was not someone you would want to meet in battle. His size was humongous. His weaponry was awesome. From every appearance, this was an enemy who appeared indestructible and unconquerable. But then I want you to notice, we also see letter C, his challenge. His challenge. In verse number 8, the Bible tells us this. The Bible says that he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me." In other words, this Philistine was simply saying, instead of getting all of the armies involved, let's just make this a one-on-one situation. And the winner will take all. The winner will take all. Because Goliath was an arrogant bully who was filled with a sense of self-confidence, he was absolutely sure that he would be the victor of that fight. And therefore, he continues down in verse number 10. Notice he says, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." But I want you to understand, this was not just a one-time deal. It was not just a one-time deal. The Bible says in verse number 16 that the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. In other words, for more than a month, every morning and every evening, two times every day, this giant came and presented his challenge to the nation of Israel and to the armies of King Saul. And I want you to notice letter D, his effect. I want you to notice his effect. Verse number 11 tells us that when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. As one writer has well noted, the presence, arrogance, and threats of the giant Goliath literally left the soldiers and the king of Israel paralyzed with fear. Now, we most likely never face such a giant bully like Goliath, but all of us from time to time are going to face people. We're going to face circumstances. We're going to face situations in our life that are actually frightening bullies who challenge us. They mock us. They cause us to be filled with hopelessness and with fear. There's an old saying, though. It goes like this: the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And when God comes into the picture, that's exactly what happens. Because those things that seem absolutely hopeless, those things that seem way beyond our control to be able to handle or to deal with, suddenly those things are brought down to size when God steps into the picture. And so I want us to notice number two, the bully defeated. The bully defeated. Even though Goliath caused the men of Israel and even the king of Israel to be filled with fear, all of that was about to change. All of that was about to change because a young man by the name of David, you're familiar with the story, I'm sure. David was sent by his father, 1 Samuel 17, verse 17 to verse 22 tells us. He's sent by his father to carry some food to his brothers who were serving in King Saul's army. And the Bible says in verse number 23 of chapter 17 that as he talked with them, David arrives, he's talking with his brothers, and behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. In other words, this is the same challenge that has been presented for 40 days, morning and evening. And now Goliath comes out and he gives the same challenge. He speaks the same words, only this time there's a young man by the name of David who is listening. And he hears the challenge that is given. And then David saw in verse number 24 how that when this giant Philistine spoke and issued his challenge, David saw how all the men of Israel fled from before him and were sore afraid. So therefore, David determined something needs to be done. And he determined that he would be willing to step up and to do it. However, as you read through, even such a wonderful decision was not without its difficulties. You find that his brothers questioned his motives in verse number 28. They accused him of just being a naughty boy who had deserted his responsibilities to watch over his father's sheep in the wilderness so that he could come down and watch the action on the battlefield. They accused him of being naughty. They questioned his motives. But then word came to King Saul, and King Saul questioned his ability in verse number 33. After all, King Saul reasoned that David's just a teenage shepherd boy, but Goliath has been trained in the art of war since his youth. How in the world could a mere shepherd defeat or even hope to put up a contest against such a huge enemy? But in spite of all the opposition, David resolved that he would face that bully who spoke against his nation. And he would face that bully that dared to blaspheme the name of his God. And I want you to notice three things that caused that giant to fall before David. First of all, there was letter A, David's courage. Verse number 32, the Bible says this. The Bible says that David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." But let me just remind you that this was not a foolish, arrogant kind of courage that had never been tested. Rather, this was a courage that had been nurtured and proven in the fires of trouble. On two occasions, David relates in verse 34 how that a lamb from his flock had been taken, first by a lion and then again by a bear. And how that both times David had rescued the lion, or the lamb rather. And then when those animals turned against David to attack him, he actually had killed them, verse number 35 says. Because he had seen how the Lord God had helped him in those difficult times. He saw how the Lord God had protected him and given him power over the enemies that he had faced in the past. And facing those bullies, he's now filled with a courage that allowed him to confidently say in verse number 36, "This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." In other words, in David's mind, whether it's a lion or a bear or a giant Philistine, it's no problem for the God of heaven. It's no problem for the God of heaven. And therefore, he confidently was able to say that this one, this Philistine, is going to be just like one of them. The source of David's courage, the source of such an amazing courage, it's clearly found in Psalm 118 and verse number 6, where the psalmist said, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" As believers in Jesus Christ this morning, we can have that same courage. We can have that same confidence when we face these frightening bullies that seek to come into our lives. And the reason we can have the same courage is because we know the same God. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, he said, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." In other words, in all of these things, and Romans chapter 8, verse 35 tells us it's those frightening circumstances, the frightening situations that we face in life. In all of that, we can be more than conquerors because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was David's courage. But then I want you to notice letter B, there's David's conviction. In verse number 37, the Bible says that David said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." When King Saul saw that David would not be deterred, that David would not be discouraged from going out and facing this huge giant, King Saul then tried to equip David with his own armor. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38, verse 39. Now, I want you to remember something here that's very important. And the thing we need to remember is that King Saul, according to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 2, from his shoulders and upward was higher than any of the people. In other words, King Saul is the tallest, biggest man in all of the nation of Israel. And so you can imagine that it must have certainly been a comical sight when David was trying to wear the armor that had been fitted for King Saul. Yet David rejected it, the Bible says in verse 40, because he was convinced that this bully could not only be defeated by the same power that had enabled him to defeat the lion and the bear, but it would be defeated and the victory would be won by the power of the Lord God. And so therefore the Bible says in verse number 40 that he took his staff in his hand, chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. That is the same conviction that we must have if we're going to see those bullies defeated that come into our lives with their threats that paralyze us with fear. We cannot defeat them with the weapons of others. We cannot defeat them with the abilities of others. Rather, we have to take into our hand what God has given to us. And then we have to trust in His power to face those bullies who come against us. That's the very thing the Apostle John spoke of when he said in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You see, you don't win the victory by my faith, and I don't win the victory by your faith. It has to be a personal faith that brings the victory. So there was David's courage. There was David's conviction. And then there was also, letter C, David's confidence. His confidence. That bully in chapter 17, verse 42, verse 43, verse 44, we find that bully disdained him. That simply means he did not take him seriously. This is just a kid in the eyes of this Philistine. So he disdained him. Not only did he disdain him, he cursed him by the names of his gods. He cursed David, and then he threatened David, said that he was going to feed his dead body to the birds and to the beast. And yet, in spite of all of those frightening things, I want you to notice that David's confidence was not shaken. It was not shaken. In fact, notice what he says in verse number 45 down to verse number 47. "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." And then the Bible says that David literally ran, verse 48, he literally ran toward this huge enemy who faced him. And he was running, as he was running toward him, the Bible says in verse 49 that David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. I like the way Charles Spurgeon described this. Charles Spurgeon said this: "He smote him on the brow of his presumption, on the forehead of his pride." And then David stood up on the body of that bully, took the bully's sword and cut off his head, verse 51 says, and the Lord God turned a hopeless situation into a great victory. And we're never going to be able to defeat those bullies that seek to control us. We're never going to be able to defeat those bullies that terrorize or paralyze us in our own strength and in our own power. Rather, just like when David faced Goliath, it's only by faith and the power of God that those bullies are going to be defeated and the victories are going to be won. Satan's bullies will do everything they can to discourage you. Satan's bullies will do everything they can to cause you to give up the battle for holiness. They'll do everything they can to cause you to become paralyzed so that you stop taking the stand for righteousness that you ought to take. However, the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not flee from those bullies. And He did not save us to flee from those bullies. Rather, He calls us to be victorious, not in our own strength, not in our own power, but by His strength, by His power. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." May God help each one of us to be living in victory over the bullies that we face in life. There may be some listening here this morning. You're dealing with bullies. Bullies who are keeping you from putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It may be the bully of your own pride. Or it may be the bully of wondering what other people are going to say, what other people will think of you if you become a believer in Jesus Christ. And these bullies that come against you, they are paralyzing you and they're hindering you from putting your faith and trust in the Savior. I pray today that you would have the grace and the courage to stand against those bullies and that you would call upon the name of the Lord and find in Him the help that you need. If you're here this morning as a believer, certainly there are many bullies that we have to face. Bullies that would seek to hinder us from doing the will of God, walking in obedience to His Word, taking a stand for Him in this wicked day in which we live. All of these bullies that we deal with, all of them, no matter how frightening they may be, they can be overcome. They can be overcome by the mighty power of God. And so may we trust Him. May we trust Him completely for the victory that only He can give us.